All right, so I thought today we would loop back a little bit, you know, like we kind of have been doing, going through cycles of progressing forward theory and looping back and working a few examples. So we're going to work a few examples, Lagrange's method, largely because I didn't quite finish grading exams. But also I think would help you with your homework you have due next week. And then we'll also tie this into some introductory of what your mini project will be about. We'll look at some of those functions. In that SymPy package. So the examples we're working today, the SymPy setup for all of them is already posted on the class site, so we'll look at that, and you'll be able to kind of tie what we're doing in class today, and we'll kind of run through it a little bit quickly probably today, and then still on Tuesday, we'll go over the midterm, and then talk in more detail about what that last mini project's gonna be. And I think you'll find that if you can kind of follow along with what we're doing today and the simple SymPy stuff, it is pretty simple. I think the second mini project shouldn't be any problem at all for you guys. Again, it's basically just extending out the kinematics you did to the dynamic situation. So this first example, I know at least a few of you have seen this one before, but maybe a good practice to see it from a different perspective, maybe, now that you have a little bit more knowledge, hopefully. So we have a mass tied to ground, and we're going to call that mass M1, and its position is defined from the spring equilibrium length as x. We have a perfect frictionless pin at that mass. Treat that mass just as a point mass. In other words, from that we have a rigid and extensible length L, massless. And we have a point mass at the M. You can call that M or M2. It's up to you. And the figure we have it is labeled M. Its angle from vertical described by theta. We have at the endpoint here an always horizontal force F. And of course, gravity is acting on this whole thing as well. Okay, so we want to set up, basically we want the equations of motion for this guy. So why don't you guys maybe take a second to think about how you get that set up. I'll be setting up the projector. Actually, would you guys rather see it on the board and then SymPy immediately following for the problem, or all the problems and then SymPy stacked at the end? Do you have a preference one way or the other? SymPy at the end for one vote? Okay, sure. So we'll work through the three, kind of, I think it's three, maybe four here, problems I have set up, and then we'll look, you know, loop back through and run down the projector and run through the SymPy stuff. So take a second, get this going, and then we'll come back together and talk through the steps. Okay, so where do we start on this guy? Some kind of frames? Sure. What kind of frames do we want? So I could have some frame, you're saying like that, okay. Any other suggestions, ways we might do this?
I did an ER theta frame at the
for this guy to do ER out or?
Yeah, out.
Out, so. That's one option. In fact, I did something similar to that one. Other thoughts? Nobody?
I mean, I did the same thing, just with Y the other way.
With Y up.
So attached to this guy though. Okay. If you're gonna do that, probably need to find some fixed frame too. Right. Whether that Y is up or down to match, you would want to match whatever you're doing here. Right. So some nice pairings, right? So if you think about how we're gonna describe this system, if you have this frame, ER going out makes an easy rotation between those two. Right? If you go this way with this up, right, or a fixed frame like this one, then you might want to do some frame like that. And I think that's what I did, and I actually just called it B1, B2 in this case. And then in that case, this rotation is a positive theta between Pap XYZ, and you could call it small XYZ or whatever. So that's kind of the path to think down, right? So I have a frame this way, which is the easy rotations, right? So as usual, you have your choice, right? And I think that's, as we've talked, a nice way to work these problems is choose one set. We'll work a set using the one I picked, because that's what I have. And then maybe go back and work it with one of the other frames. And again, you should get the exact same equations of motion. Okay, so we have some potential frames. I'm going to pick the cap XYZ, and then B1, B2, and B3 would be out in this case. Okay, what's next? We could pick some gravity datum. Sure, what do we want to choose for that? Yeah. So you're saying... And in fact, that's what I choose in the solutions. What's next?
Define the kinetic and potential.
So yeah, I can jump straight to defining energies. I'm going to suggest we take another step, even if we're thinking Lagrange. There and draw a free body diagram. Okay, so we have two bodies, M1 and M. What kind of forces are acting?
A normal force on the arc.
Sure. M1G. We have spring force. What else we have? Some reactions at the pen. I'm just going to draw that. So let's see. Let's call that T for kind of the tension in that member, right? And equal and opposite says, hey, that's the force acting down here too on that mass. What else do we have? The applied force, of course. Anything else? I think that's it. All right. And I think there's another kind of choice you're probably making implicitly when you say, hey, let's get to energies. What is that? Well, yeah, choose whether you want to use the Newton or Lagrange, of course. So you said, hey, let's use Lagrange, which is probably a good choice here. But even before that choice or part of that choice or immediately following that choice, there's some other thing you should think about.
Generalized coordinates.
Yeah, what do I want my generalized coordinates to be? And they're kind of the obvious choices picked out for you here, right? Prescribed for you, but I think, again, make that an explicit part of your process. Think about what would be an easy set of coordinates to use. Is there any coordinates within these frames I can use that would simplify this problem? Right. And in this case, I think the simplest ones you get to are x and theta. Right. In some sense, this problem is set up to do that for you. And again, I like to, for myself, kind of put that out there explicitly in my notes when I'm solving these for myself. All right. So,
We said we're going to do Lagrange. Why might Lagrange be a good choice here over New Norther? Other than at the beginning of class, I said, hey, let's work some Lagrange problems. Tension. Yeah, so if I'm doing New Norther, I have to figure out what this is to get the solution. And so I'm going to have kind of extra equations I have to, have to solve and match up terms for to figure out that tension. I don't know that ahead of time. Because right? That's going to be as large as it needs to be for this to work out. Okay. Whereas if I choose Lagrange, this is kind of an internal force of the system. I don't have to worry about it. Right. It's a constraint force. So if we choose an unconstrained set of coordinates, right? These are unconstrained set of coordinates. This is the set we need to describe this guy. Right? I don't have to worry about that guy. That tension. All right. So, if we're going to define kinetic energy, what is that in this case?
The 1/2 m1 would be the velocity of that car, but just got it.
It's the velocity of the trolley, right? That's all x dot i, so. Square root of self, we can kind of fill that part out already. All right. What else do we have? That dot easier to read.
Plus 1/2 m of the times the total velocity of the mass. Times the times again.
Dotted with itself. That's a vector. Okay, so that means we're going to have to figure out this velocity, right? Where Vm is just the total velocity of that lower mass. So what is that? Yeah, so we have, hey, what's be this? Well, I could, right? We can, of course, use that equation. I can write this as L theta dot in kind of E theta, or in our case, V1, right? I could, of course, do this if we called, you know, effectively what we're filling out here. If I call that A, let's say, right? We're basically doing. That's all we're working through right now. This problem happens, these planar problems, particularly textbook planar problems, are quite often simple enough where you can kind of reason about it for yourself. That, right? So our total velocity theta dot, that's cap, okay.
Theta dot L,
okay. Cosine. Right? K cross J is gives us I, negative cancels out. Math right? It seems I did. All right, so then we have everything we need to know the kinetic energy. What's next?
Potential energy.
What forms of potential do we have in this case?
From the spring and from gravity.
So we have some spring potential. Gravitational potential. What's the spring potential energy in this case? 1/2 k delta squared
Well, what's the delta for that spring in this case?
Just the rate of change of, displacement of.
Yeah, so if we've defined x where it's the displacement from the spring equilibrium, it's just x. So we have. So that's the spring potential. What's our gravitational potential? Oh, so it's mgh, right?
Yeah.
What's h in this case?
L cosine theta.
L cosine theta. I think that's very close.
Minus
L theta. It's below h. Below the datum. So it's negative. Gravity datum up here.
I thought we're doing it with the as the y pointing up or pointing down.
Doesn't matter.
Oh, okay.
That h is relative to your datum.
Okay.
Right. So if you're below the datum, you have lower potential. All right, so then we have L is just T minus V. Okay. So we have our Lagrangian. What else do we need to do?
We need to find our virtual work.
Yeah, we need to figure out what the generalized forces might be, Q1, Q2 in this case. So we have the kind of one non-conservative external force we need to worry about. Right. So how do I get to what capital Q1 those generalized forces are?
The velocity of the point at which it's acting.
Right, so I can get the velocity of the point at which it's acting. Luckily we have that already. Right. So if I write, let's just skip along. We can just work straight from there rather than rewriting stuff. So really what I want, I need the virtual displacement of the point at which it's acting, right? If I'm going to figure out that virtual work. So one method we did was to take the velocity of that point and replace all the time derivatives with virtual displacements of the generalized coordinates. Okay, I've done that from the virtual displacement of the point at which it's acting. And what is the work? Virtual work.
Force dotted with
that. Yeah, whatever force is acting dotted with that guy. So we have F is always in the I direction. To make it explicit what's going on. Okay, now how do I figure out what the generalized forces are?
Well, so we know that Q1 is going to be F and Q2.
Yeah. So if I have two generalized coordinates, I have, and they are, x and theta, whoops, delta w,